From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Pinole, California.
Santa Clara.
I'm from Fremont.
Pacifica, California.
Pleasanton.
I'm from Vallejo.
Me from Antioch.
Coming up, we'll hear from animal lovers who watch over feral cats.
So, are you guys ready to save some more cats?
And the people who want to stop them.
This whole area right here is a giant litter box.
That's all cat feces. This is all cat feces.
A story from Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting. And later, we wax poetic with Youth Radio.
A rose flower goes through a lot of things in its life. It also sees a lot of things.
We're in full bloom here on Cross Current. Stay with us. We have more cats than dogs in our homes today, but for every pet cat curled up in our laps, there's another one roaming our alleyways, parks, and other places around the country. Tens of millions of them. If you don't see them, it's because many are feral and avoid human contact. Right now, the question of how to best control these cats is sparking a lot of controversy. At issue is what they are. Pets gone astray that we should be protecting, or invasive predators decimating the local wildlife. For generations, animal shelters have tried to curb the feral cat population in two ways, adoption or euthanasia. Conservation groups want animal control agencies to limit the population because cats kill lots of native wildlife. But cat lovers say they have a more humane and effective way to reduce the number of feral cats, and their message is catching on. From our friends at the investigative reporting show Reveal, producer Aditya Samba Murthy takes us to Antioch to examine what this cat fight is all about.
I'm meeting Ray at his garage. There's stacks of donated cat food everywhere.
These are the bundles we get. The donations and stuff come from different stores like Pet Food Express, PetSmart.
His garage is a hub for cat lovers who volunteer with the local group. They feed the town stray and feral cats and trap them so they can be fixed and then returned outdoors. It's a program called Trap, Neuter, Return, or TNR. They say it's the most humane way to bring down the number of feral cats.
Hey, Ray. I have three cats. I didn't expect to trap three cats.
That's Susan Smith. She's bringing trapped cats to Ray's garage. The cats will spend the night here, then go to the vet. Susan has a part-time job at Costco and two sons at home, one of them a foster child. Yet she finds the time to feed and trap cats almost every night.
It is a full-time job for me. I do this 24/7. Some of my family members don't understand what motivates me to do this. I think it's just something I was born with.
She's been at it for about 6 years now. It's a big job. There are about 17,000 stray and feral cats roaming Antioch, and they breed quickly.
Kitty, kitty, kitties. Come on.
I want to see what it takes to trap a cat, so I meet up with Susan at a vacant house downtown. The windows are boarded up, the grass is knee-high, and feral cats are everywhere.
Gonna bait the trap with a little wet food.
Susan places the food inside a box trap that won't harm the animals. It's basically a metal wire cage, 5 feet by 2, with a spring-loaded plate in the back. To trigger the trap, the cat has to step on the plate. That's where the food comes in.
And then some tuna, some albacore, because the smellier it is, the more appealing it seems to be to the cat.
She carries the trap behind the house, and then we wait.
Here comes one. You get your dinner. Come on.
The cat sniffs around the trap cautiously. After a few minutes, it just can't resist the tuna. When the trapdoor snaps shut, the cat goes wild, running around in circles.
Easy, easy. Calm down. Calm down. Calm down. Calm down.
Susan will get the cat fixed, then she'll bring it right back here, to this abandoned house where she comes every day to feed and take care of the cats. What Ray and Susan are doing is controversial, and a lot of people in town think they're crazy. Why would you release and feed cats when there are already so many of them running around? Some people say you should just get rid of the cats. Antioch's animal shelter is overflowing with animals. including a lot of feral cats. Monica Helgemo runs the place, and she says she has two options when a cat comes in.
The ones that I can get into a home at some point are the ones that we try to make the spaces for. And unfortunately, the ones that I know I cannot put into a home are the ones that we do end up euthanizing.
Monica used to work with Susan's group to get the cats spayed and neutered, but she stopped after residents and businesses started complaining. We head outside to a neighboring parking lot, and she shows me why people are so mad.
This whole area right here is a giant litter box.
That's all cat feces. This is all cat feces.
And this is one of the areas I have to come out and clean.
Monica says there's about 30 feral cats on this one property alone. She blames Ray and Susan for not cleaning up after the cats, and that's not all.
Then you got the wildlife issue. People feeding the cats are also bringing in wildlife to residential areas. I mean, last night I came and there was big old raccoons eating, you know, piles of food that a cat person has left.
I wanted to see what Monica was talking about, so I went out with Susan to one of her feeding spots and left a camera to film overnight. When you look at the footage, you see a large bowl filled with cat food in the middle of a plastic doghouse. At first, about five cats crowd around the bowl, but then the first raccoon pops his head inside, the cats take off. Other animals show up. Possums. Lots of skunks. You can hear them munching away all night long. It's an animal smorgasbord. Ray doesn't see what the big deal is.
They say that we're bringing the vermin to the town, the possums, the skunks, the raccoons. I think you could have went downtown Antioch long before we lived here, and there were a lot of, well, I don't like to refer them as vermin. They belong there.
But some locals keep complaining, and county health officials get involved. They say that cat feces carry parasites and that the raccoons and skunks can transmit rabies and other diseases. By December of 2013, Antioch City officials take action. Little did they know they're about to start a full-blown cat fight.
The city of Antioch is trying to slow down its growing feral cat population with a new ordinance. It would make feeding cats on public property a misdemeanor.
Susan and her group decide to fight the ordinance, and they reach out to a national organization for help.
So, are you guys ready to save some more cats? Woohoo!
This is the National Conference of Alley Cat Allies in Washington, D.C. It's a network of some 250,000 activists. They promote catching and sterilizing cats.
So the cat group in Antioch called us for help, and we were glad to send letters to the city council and educate them on why this kind of knee-jerk reaction of proposing a feeding ban wasn't going to work.
And Alley Cat Allies offered Antioch grant money for a trap, neuter, return program. They also alerted their network of activists to show up and fight the Antioch ordinance at what turns out to be one of the strangest city council meetings I've ever been to.
Okay, welcome to our regularly scheduled city council meeting. Since we have so many speakers, we're going to cut the comment time to 2 minutes.
Letting them starve in the streets is simply not humane.
Cats are not the villains in this.
These animals have no voice and they have no rights.
And then Susan steps up to the mic.
You have volunteers spending their time and money. We deserve your cooperation and your appreciation and not citations.
I'm not afraid of a cat urinating on my foot. I'm afraid of the meth heads that go around my building and threaten me.
Councilman Gary Agopian pushes back.
Nothing in this ordinance stops anyone in this room from doing a TNR program. Doesn't. You know what? I listen to you. I want to tell you something. I've listened patiently to everyone in this room, and you mocking me is not acceptable. I'm sorry. You should have some respect for this office.
Most of the people at the meeting are against the ban, but a handful of bird lovers also show up. They say the cats are decimating the wildlife population. It's a smaller group, but they're just as passionate.
First of all, I strongly urge the city council to adopt the revised animal ordinance.
Trap, neuter, release does not address public health concerns, and it does not reduce wildlife impacts.
Feral cats are not a natural resource. Thank you.
The meeting remains tense, and the back and forth lasts well into the night. Finally, it's time to vote.
Please cast your votes. 4 affirmative votes, 1 negative vote. The motion passes. Thank you all for your...
That's it. The feeding ban is official. So you can imagine that the next day, I was surprised to find Ray back out on the streets feeding his beloved cats.
It's very disappointing. We bust our butts working to get the food, and now we're being told, just stop. That's pretty hard to do. Almost impossible, actually.
And that has bird lovers worried. Paul Shore is the vice president of the local Audubon Society.
Within the last 5 years, I've seen more feral cats being fed. I've seen more feral cats out actively pursuing birds. I'm really troubled by the impact. They're a predator, and they're an efficient predator.
So how much wildlife do cats really kill?
So it's pretty classic kind of cat injury.
That's Dr. Guthrum Purdon from a nearby wildlife rescue hospital. He's examining a mourning dove from Antioch. It's a young one, and it's missing feathers all along its sides.
What happened with this one is the cat managed to get control of him and bit him right here.
Its right eye is swollen. There's still a visible claw mark just above it. This dove is one of six birds in the clinic recently attacked by cats from Antioch.
What I see coming in from Antioch is about 10% higher than anywhere else.
It's probably not too surprising given how many cats Antioch has. The five other birds ended up dying, but Dr. Purdon thinks this one will make it.
It took two surgeries, but at this point he's looking really healthy. It'll be a couple weeks, and then he'll be able to go back to where he came from.
That mourning dove is lucky. Researchers at the Smithsonian Conservation Biology Institute estimate that nationwide, cats kill up to 2.4 billion birds and 12.3 billion mammals every year. We're talking rabbits, squirrels, mice, and rats, but also reptiles like snakes and lizards, and a surprising number of frogs.
You know, this is an emerging conservation crisis.
Grant Sizemore directs the invasive species programs at the American Bird Conservancy in Washington, D.C. It's a bird advocacy group that supports feeding bans like the one in Antioch.
You cannot introduce 100 million invasive predators and not expect massive impacts. Feral cats are not endangered. You know, other birds, other wildlife, they're struggling to survive. Many of these are on the brink of extinction. We need to take their populations into account more so than feral cats.
Grant says releasing feral cats back outside is a terrible idea.
Ideally, we'd be giving these cats a second chance. You know, these cats can be rehabilitated and rehomed. But if that's not an option, you know, those cats are unfortunately going to have to be euthanized.
There's no way the cat lovers are going to go for that. And in fact, back in Antioch, 3 months after the ban on feeding feral cats, Ray and Susan are still out there, night after night, defiantly feeding their cats.
I'm a really law-abiding citizen. I don't even get tickets. But I just can't let the cats die.
I'm not going to stop feeding cats. We love those cats. Those cats depend on us. And some of them, yeah, they love us. I don't know if you believe that cats can love. I believe animals can love. We'll feed at night. We'll feed them like ninjas.
At the animal shelter, Monica Helgemo is fed up.
How are we going to enforce this when they do it at night, when we don't have officers on the street? You know, I told them not to, and they're still doing it.
And then, in January 2015, the city decides to meet with Susan and the other cat advocates to negotiate a truce that would end the feeding ban. They're even considering approving a trap, neuter, and return program. I asked city manager Steve Duran why they were backing down.
It's like being Leslie Knope at a community meeting in Parks and Recreation. You can get people that are very passionate about their position and they're sure they're right. And so cities are often in the position of having to try to mediate and try to get a compromise.
But if Antioch caves, will trap, neuter, and return help reduce the cat population? I looked at a bunch of studies that reached different conclusions, and then I spoke with Dr. Patrick Foley. He's a population biologist at California State University in Sacramento, and he's the only academic who's analyzed two of the largest, longest-running TNR projects in the country, one in San Diego, the other in Gainesville, Florida.
Cat populations were not significantly going down, and that's probably the single take-home lesson here.
Meow, meow, the kitty cat is-
Dr. Foley says the problem is that cats are so fertile, a single female can give birth to as many as 6 kittens in one litter. Within 4 years, that cat can have as many as 4,000 descendants. And after 8 years, the number jumps to as many as 64,000. All from one cat.
Our calculations show that you need to have about 75% of the female cats be sterilized in order to make this work. And that's maybe about 10 times as many, roughly, as their present efforts are making.
So that means Susan and her team would need to spay more than 6,000 females within a couple of years to start seeing a population decline. Susan told me they've only been able to sterilize about 500 cats over the past 6 years.
I appreciate the fact that people into TNR want to take responsibility. Neutering them is a great idea, but if it's simply a symbolic idea, it's not taking responsibility.
And that brings me to one of the biggest national players in the TNR movement, PetSmart Charities. It's a nonprofit set up by the founders of PetSmart, one of the biggest pet food retailers in the country. The charity gives millions of dollars to hundreds of feral cat groups. Brian Cordes manages those grants.
And we actually get the bulk of our funding from individual donations, from customers who go into PetSmart stores and give $1 or $2 at the checkout counter. So there's obviously a strong relationship between PetSmart and PetSmart Charities.
He's doing more than giving a lot of money to cat groups. He's teaching them how to lobby their local governments to support trap, neuter, and return, and he's got a savvy message.
What I tell people is you don't want to go in there wearing a sweater with paw prints on it and saying, please, please help the cats. You have to appeal to saving taxpayer money, reducing public health risks by having the cats vaccinated for rabies, having wildlife predation go down simply by virtue of not having as many cats in the environment. These are the points you want to emphasize.
They are protecting an exploding feral cat population.
That's Grant Sizemore at the American Bird Conservancy again.
PetSmart Charities is one of the organizations propping up trap neuter release throughout the country. They're aware that trap neuter release doesn't work to reduce feral cat populations. They're aware of the harmful impacts that feral cats have on wildlife. I'll be interested to see whether or not they continue to support this growing movement.
I asked Brian at PetSmart Charities for his take on that.
20 plus years into the movement, there isn't any hard science that shows that it works on a community scale. You know, what's your response to that?
I'm totally comfortable with trap neuter return moving forward on a much larger scale than it has in the past, even though we don't have 100% scientific proof that's been peer reviewed and published that it works on that large of a scale. I'm not seeing any harm that's going to come from getting outdoor cats fixed and vaccinated. I'm just not seeing it. So, no, I don't think we're walking down a perilous road.
With PetSmart Charities money and Alley Cat Allies Network, trap neuter return is going mainstream. More than 400 cities and counties now use TNR, and after 11 months of negotiations between city officials and Susan Smith's group, Antioch is considering whether to join them.
Okay, welcome to our regularly scheduled city council meeting. We're at item number 4, approval of a trap neuter return program for downtown Antioch.
This time around, there are no crowds, no heated debate. Just a quick vote as the city gives the cat lovers what they've been fighting for.
Please cast your votes. Okay, 5 affirmative votes, the motion passes.
Thank you. Thank you, council members. It just means so much to us that we can continue to care for them. So thank you very much.
That was Susan again. The pilot program allows her group to feed the cats as long as they keep sterilizing them, but only in designated spots downtown and only during the daytime. Out on the streets, Susan is back to feeding cats. And now she's official. Her title? Community Cat Manager. City officials will review the program after 1 year, and it's up to Susan to keep the cat numbers in check. That's going to be tough. Even if she can control the cats downtown, the unfixed ferals in other parts of town are going to continue to breed, and new cats are going to keep showing up. That's pretty much what was happening on one of the last times I went out with Susan before the city council voted.
Haven't seen that one before. So I have to get her fixed.
Susan looked worried.
I've done a lot of TNR, and everywhere I go, it seems like I'm finding a litter of kittens. It feels very discouraging, very overwhelming, considering all the hours and all the personal time I've spent out here doing this. You think you would notice a difference or a decline in the kitten population.
So I asked her, why does she keep going?
You can't walk away from it. It's just once you're in it, it's hard, you know, to even consider walking away from it. Somebody has to do it, and, you know, that's just it. Somebody has to do it.
That piece was produced by Aditya Sambamurthy for Reveal. In an update, shortly after Sambamurthy wrapped up reporting on this story, PetSmart Charities, the group that hands out grants to fund trap, neuter, and return programs, announced it was laying off its entire staff. PetSmart's corporate offices say they're reviewing the program, but that they would honor any commitment they've already made to cat groups. Antioch is just one of hundreds of towns around the country dealing with feral cats. To find out more about what's going on nationwide, you can check out a film by producer Aditya Sambamurthy. It delves into how they're tracked and how they trap and kill native wildlife. You can find that at revealnews.org. And if you want to hear more from Reveal, the show airs right here on KALW Monday mornings at 11 o'clock. This is Cross Currents. I'm Hannah Baba. This week, we're featuring poems from participants of Remix Your Life, an arts program run by Youth Radio. These poems address the relationship and occasional friction between the natural world and city life. Darrell Brown grew up in Oakland, and he imagines what it's like to be a rose pushing its way up through his city's soil.
A rose flower goes through a lot of things in its life. It also sees a lot of things, and sometimes pull through all of that and blossom to a full-grown, lent, beautiful flower. It's crazy to see a comparison of before and the after photo of a blossom rose, and also a seed that will transform into that beautiful flower. But first, the seed had to go through a lot before it got the chance to blossom into a beautiful flower. First, it had to be buried in the dirt for weeks before it busted open. It slept deep down next to crawling worms and maggots and bugs and insects and a whole lot more little creatures in his bedroom. But not only did they have to deal with them, they also had to face bigger creatures such as rabbits and gophers and cats and dogs. They battled and lived through urine and feces all over their beautiful petals and stems. They also had to survive different flower hunters that tried to take their freedom away from them, lock them up in their stores, and use their souls for a profit. Flowers have survived all different types of bad weathers and obstacles life has to throw at them, and somehow still stay strong and manage to blossom into a beautiful rose flower. That strong, tough rose flower is me.
That piece was from poet Darrell Brown, who participates in Remix Your Life. It's an arts program at Youth Radio. And now we'd love to hear from you. Send us your comments and suggestions to news@kalw.org or find us on Facebook and Twitter at KALW. Because of you, we can proudly say we're listener-supported public radio. Our team includes Geraldine Asu, Leela Day, Audrey Dilling, Tammy Drummond, Chris Hoff, Angela Johnston, Casey Miner, and Stephen Short. Today's show was engineered by James Rollins. The line producer was Liz Mack. Our managing editor is Jen Sheehan. Managing producer is Julie Kane. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. This music is by Bay Area harpist Amelia Romano. She'll be playing Persian folk music on Wednesday night at the Octopus Literary Salon in Oakland. Show starts at 7 o'clock. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba.